sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've come today to praise the Lord our God. Let's join together as we sing the hymn, Lord, I come before your throne of grace.
We've got this recorded because it's perhaps not so familiar and we will sing.
Lovely.
We like to sing sometimes.
Lovely,
so,
yes.
Technology committed.
Lovely. The theme of our service this morning is a lost cause. When Jesus first shared his wonderful ministry, he brought many people into the kingdom who were lost causes. Many people whom the world had rejected and whom there was thought to be no hope for. I wonder how many there are in our churches today whom we may have given up as lost causes. but have come by the grace of God into the kingdom. Going to share together a short meditation. It was written by Frank Topping, who has been on the TV and on the radio, and it's entitled A Smile. Lord of the morning, there are some people who always make me feel better for meeting them. The people who make me smile. They have a warmth about them, an inner gaiety. After a few minutes in their company, the world seems a better place. Somehow my problems and difficulties are not nearly so bad. What gift is it that such people have? What is the secret of their infectious joy? Lord, I'm thinking about a particular friend who always makes me feel good. Why is it that I'm always lifted up simply by the presence of that friend? I know that to give out warmth and joy is impossible without love. Such a person has to have a loving, caring spirit. Is it that they care more about people than things? Is it that for the few minutes that I am with them, I catch a glimpse of love at work? Lord, today, tomorrow, and throughout this coming week, I will meet a number of people, and I would like them to feel better for having spent some time with me. It will mean that I will have to think more about them than myself, and that won't be easy. It will take effort. But of all the things that I could spend my energy on, few things could have more value than making someone smile or feel a little love. Lord, help me to bring some joy or warmth into every meeting. Let's pray. Loving Father, we've come into your awesome presence to worship you in the beauty of holiness. We come in the name above every name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We come, dear Father, knowing that your love is upon us and surrounds us every day of our lives. We come with our faults and our failings. We come just as we are. We claim no goodness of our own. We come only by your grace and your blessing. And as we meet together this morning, we pray that we may feel your presence with us. We pray that you will lead us on in our faith journey. We pray that as we walk with Jesus in our daily lives, we may reflect his love wherever we go. And we pray that people will see Jesus in us. We thank you, dear Father, for our church, our fellowship here. We pray that your guiding hand will be upon everything that we think, that we do, and that we say. We pray, dear Father, that above all else we may seek to build up your kingdom here on earth. We pray that this church may be a place where all may come and find your welcome, where all may know that they are loved with an everlasting love, a place where none may feel excluded. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you that you welcomed all kinds and conditions of human life into the kingdom, that you particularly reached out to the lost and the broken. And we will think today of those who have come into the kingdom as lost causes. Father, bless us now. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Together we share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Lost causes, sing of the wondrous grace of God. Let's sing together. All I once held dear, built my life upon. All I want, to ask Neil to come and read to us, please, from the book of Psalms. Thank you, Neil. Just move over. Thank you. Thank you.
It's written in Psalm 46, entitled God is with us. God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and mountains fall into the ocean deep depths. even if the seas roar and rage, and the hills are shaken by violence. There is a river that brings joy to the city of God. God is in that city, and it will never be destroyed. At early dawn, he will come to its aid. Nations are terrified, kingdoms are shaken. God thunders and the earth dissolves. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and see what the Lord has done. See what amazing things he has done on earth. He stops wars all over the world. He breaks bows, destroys spears, and sets shields on fire. Stop fighting, he says, and know that I am God, supreme among the nations, supreme over the world. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Neil. Let's further praise God as we sing the lovely hymn, Purify My Heart. Come and read our gospel reading for today. I think you will know this one. Thank you, Bill. And I'm going to come and sit round here for a moment. Lovely, thank you. That's all right, thank you.
The reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. The parable of the lost son. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who had devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'"
Amen. Thank you, Bill, for sharing with us. We share together an offering prayer. I think you have your offering, yes, at the back. Yes, let's just pray together. God our Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that we receive from your eternal store of grace. We offer you our gifts, dear Father, praying that you will take and use them according to your will and purpose. Take, we pray, gift and giver, glorify your name. On the harvest fields of life, may those gifts bring glory to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. when I needed a neighbour, were you there? Let's sing together. Thank you for your gifts in music this morning, and thank you for our technology. Thank you very much indeed this morning. What a wonderful gift Jesus had, didn't he, of sharing stories. I've always loved stories, ever since I was a child, and maybe you have too. I well remember at school when we used to read those famous five books by Enid Blyton, you know, Five Go to Mystery Moor, Five Go Away Together, Five at the Seaside, and so on. And throughout the years, I've just loved stories. And Jesus had a wonderful gift of sharing stories. The story that we read in St. Luke's Gospel is the longest story that Jesus ever shared. And it's only recorded in St. Luke's Gospel. It's a marvellous story, a thought-provoking story, and a huge challenge to all of us. First of all, let's be honest about it, we probably heard this story from a very early age. The lost son, the prodigal son. Maybe in Sunday school, maybe at home, but wherever. This was a story, no doubt, that we heard very early in our lives. And there's always a danger, isn't there, that stories can become so familiar to us that they lose their deepest meaning. Here was the son who wanted to go out into the world and to have a good time. And he went to his father, as we know, and asked for his share of the inheritance. And his father didn't refuse that. He gave him his freedom to go God gives each one of us freedom to go. He went out into the wider world. And he went out meaning to have a good time. I wonder if I asked you about some of the wilder moments in your life, whether you might refer to some funny things that happened to you, things that maybe you don't really want to tell. And I'm not asking you to repeat them this morning. I'll tell you one or two of my stories. I remember the first time in my wild youth when I went for the one and only time, actually, to a nightclub in Northampton called Panache. And I'd never seen so many mirrors in my life. The only time I saw as many mirrors as that, I think, was at the fun fair in Earls Barton when it used to come to us in our youthful years. And there I was in my blue flares, the old flare trousers. Some may remember those. I wouldn't say I hardly took them off, but I wore them week after week, and a nice mauve shirt. We really thought we were it. And we went to have a good time. And of course, we went into the early hours too. I mean, a nightclub, you do. So that's one of my wild moments. Some of my wilder moments were spent at the YMCA, would you believe, in Northampton, when we used to go to the old folk dances there. I say wild moments because we used to get into all sorts of twists and turns there. We often stepped on ladies' feet, girls' feet. We often took the wrong turn and found ourselves going in the opposite direction to everyone else. And it was just a way of life. And I always remember meeting a girl there, and she lived in Barton Seagrave. Lovely looking girl, a Linda Lusardi look-alike, you might say. And I actually took her home on that Saturday night, and I drove my old Morris 1000, the clapped-out Morris 1000, and as we went up the drive, I realised that her house was more like a mansion. And as I got to the house itself, there was her father's limousine alongside my Morris 1000. And I thought to myself, I haven't got much chance here. And sure enough, during the week, she rang me and she said, I think we'll have to... at this early stage, discontinue our relationship. And I was quite happy because I knew I couldn't compete with that wonderful house, the wealth, the limousine, as opposed to my dear old Morris 1000. But this young man went out intending to have a good time, to spend all his money. And no doubt he did. In many ways, no doubt. Until the crunch came when there was that famine in the land. And as soon as he ran out of money, there's no doubt that he would run out of friends. True friends remain faithful, but there are some friends who, as soon as the money has disappeared, they disappear. And that's what happened with this young man, really. He just lost everything. He lost absolutely everything. And he thought deeply. He thought deeply about his situation. And he thought, even my father's hired servants are not living in squalor as I am, because, of course, he had to take that job on a farm, feeding pigs. What a job. And some versions of the Bible tell us that he would have been quite happy to have eaten of that pig's will that was provided for the pigs. He was totally broken and lost. Did anyone care? Did anyone care? He thought to himself, I'll go back. I'll go back to my father and I'll plead with him. and he practiced his lines. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." And Jesus doesn't tell us, but I would dare say that he would complete those lines over and over again. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But he walked on that road back to his home. And someone came running. It wasn't the son. It was the father. The father saw his son in the distance and ran to embrace him, to show his love for him, despite all that had gone before, despite his failings, despite his loss. The father opened his arms, took him in them, and we read he kissed him. The son could never have expected such a welcome. He wasn't entitled to such a welcome. After all, he'd given up his rights. And the father could quite easily have said, "Go away, don't you ever darken my doorstep again. You made your bed, now you go and lie on it." But no, far from that. The father showed his love for the one whom he thought he'd lost, but was now found. The one who was dead, but is alive. Almost unbelievable that the love of our father reaches out to the most wretched of sinners, to those whom we said earlier are lost causes, to those who have no right to demand a place within the kingdom. But when we reject anyone, God does not. When we turn anyone aside, God does not. When we in our hearts say, "There is no place for you here," God said, "The cross is here. My cross for your redemption and the redemption of the world." The elder brother, we know all about. We know that the father had thrown this party, killed the fatted calf. What a party that must have been. The kind of party that Matthew threw for Jesus when his life was redeemed from the very depths. How Matthew rejoiced when, from that working as a tax collector, Jesus said those simple words, "Follow me." And Matthew did, and his life was never the same again. No wonder he threw that party for Jesus, because his life had been totally transformed. He'd been brought from death to life, from darkness into light, from hopelessness into the glory of God. The elder brother, maybe we're sometimes rather like that. Cynical maybe sometimes when someone returns to the kingdom, or when someone comes for the first time into the kingdom. There's been cynicism throughout Christianity. There have been those who have laughed when people like Paul have come by the grace of God into the kingdom. When Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, preached with such grace and authority, many of the people ridiculed him and said, "They're drunk. That's all, they're drunk." They were totally filled with the grace and love of God. And somehow, within the life of God's church, we have to remember that always. That God has never excluded anyone from the kingdom. All may be saved. The story of the prodigal is a beautiful story. Arguably one of the most beautiful stories that Jesus ever shared. Because it reveals to us and to the church of God everywhere that our God reigns, that our God is holy, that our God is over and above all else, that he made the heavens and the earth, the stars that shine by night, the sun by day, that the beauty all around us in creation, God's hand made. Yet he is the God who sent his Son down from heaven to share with the lost, to lift the fallen, to open the eyes of the spiritually blind, to give hope to those who had no hope, to befriend the friendless, to bring the lost into the kingdom. He's still doing that today. Whilst the church in this nation is declining numerically, many areas within this world are growing, including China and America and Africa. Countless places within the world where the gospel is being preached faithfully and people are being brought to the new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Read that story again when you have a moment for yourself. Put yourself into that picture that Jesus paints and remember, Jesus died for lost sinners. He died for you and me. Without his grace, you and I too would have been given up as lost causes. But by the grace of God, as Christ died upon the cross, he gave to each one of us newness of life. Praise be to him. Amen. Amen. Let's come before the Lord our God in prayer. Let us all pray. We thank you, Father, that Jesus revealed your nature as he taught in parables. We thank you for the story of the prodigal son. We thank you for its beauty. We thank you for your rich grace revealed through it. We thank you that we learn more of your love and your rescue mission for the world through this parable. Father, send us out into your world to love the lost, to go out and seek those who have fallen by the wayside, those who have turned away from your kingdom, those who wander, not knowing why they're here, where they've come from, or where they are going. Father, remind us that we are your hands to reach out into the world today. And we pray that we may reach out in humility and in love to all kinds and conditions of human life. We pray your blessing, dear Father, today upon our meeting. We pray that your hand will be upon us as we share together. May we share knowing that you are here with us. Guide our thinking, guide our speaking. Give us wisdom far above this world. When difficult decisions have to be made, may we honour your word and share your love. May we remember that Jesus' love is revealed through those who will walk with him. And we pray that we may all, above all else, share your love within this church and within the wider world. Direct us, we pray, dear Father, according to your will and purpose. We pray for your church throughout the world, dear Father. We pray that your church may be the light for the world. We pray that we may be light for the world. For as Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he also said, you are the light of the world. And so we pray that your church may walk in your light, rejoice in it. We pray for this nation. We pray for the new government. We pray, dear Father, that as the future lies before us all, alongside our leaders, we may all seek to build a better world, a world where all people are loved and respected, held in dignity, where our children may grow up unhindered, where they may learn to love, to care for their fellow humanity. A world where we may seek pathways of peace and reconciliation, where weapons of war and mass destruction may be broken, and where we may learn the pathway so willingly trod by the Prince of Peace, the pathway of love, of self-denial, of self-giving. Father, hear our prayer, we humbly pray. We pray for those who could not be with us today, for any who are ill, for any away on holiday, for those who for varying reasons could not be with us. Bless them and be with them wherever they are this day. Dear Lord and Father, we pray this our prayer in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Let's share together. us pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you and with all those whom you love, both in this world and the next. Amen.